Yeah.
The side two of the second tape, side two. What skills, character qualities, or achievements do you want to be remembered by the next generation? That you were a good cook, or that you...
Well...
I can say things that Christine, we should remember her by, for all her kindness and concern and her care that she always has for all of us, and her desire for cooking, and just the inspiration she gives us for all her canning and her gardening and just her happiness and her positive attitude about things and the way she helped my mom and dad the last few years. I'll just never forget her for all her goodness she did.
That was Dolores Kanish talking. Oldest daughter of Joe and Elizabeth Gross. Now the question is, how is your family history passed on? I suppose nothing special. How is your family history passed on to the next generation? Well, you know a lot of history, and you tell them. If they listen, then you tell them.
Through pictures.
Through pictures. Okay, now we have a little story that she told us yesterday, so I asked her to put it back, to say it again so that we get it on the recording. We had talked about stuff like this last night. What year was that about?
See, that's between 5 and 6 years ago.
So you would have been about, 82 years old, 83 years old?
Mm-hmm. I was quite sick. Got sicker and sicker as the night went on. So when I got worried, I didn't go back to bed. I just laid across the bed and was wishing it was morning. And all of a sudden, I felt like there's somebody in the room. So I looked up, and there I saw my sister stand that had died 5 years earlier. And I was shocked, and I said, "Caroline, how did you get here?" And she said, "Well, I came to tell you, don't wait till morning, it'll be too late. Get to the doctor." So I don't know what I said. I think I started saying something else, and I looked up, and she was gone. So I thought a minute, and then I called my neighbor and said, "Will you please take me to emergency? I think I need help." And by the time I got into the hospital, I was kind of faded out. And they said all I did, they tried to ask me questions. I didn't answer them. I just made goofy noises. So they put me to bed and started putting tubes on me and wondering what to do. And pretty soon, the doctor and two nurses come running, and they said, I heard them say, "Oh, she's sleeping." And I said, "Yeah, I wish you'd have left me sleep. It didn't hurt so bad when I was sleeping." And she said, "We came to beat you out. We thought you were running around the room and acting silly." And said, "Now your heart's bad enough that we have to give you a pacemaker. You were at the verge of a heart attack." And then next morning I said to the doctor, "Did I act real goofy when I came in?" And she said, "You're just lucky you came in. About 10, 15 minutes later would have been too late. You'd have had your heart attack."
Let's see. Then they gave you a pacemaker.
Mm-hmm. And it's working fine. I had it checked this week.
And the doctor said, you're not supposed to work in the garden?
Yeah, that doctor I had then said, "No more garden work. Not even a plant in front of the house." just forget it.
But you still do it, though.
Yeah. I told my neighbor, you can have most of my garden. I'll keep on strip because I just couldn't see myself without a garden. So now she moved to Oklahoma, and I have a different doctor. And at one time, this doctor lived a couple houses east. And when I first went to him, he said, when we were your neighbors, I always admired your beautiful garden. Do you still have it? I said, I have just a small part of it now. And he said, good, hang on to it as long as you can walk, because that's the best thing old people can do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the other doctor told you not to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would think it's the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise. Well, I still put in the garden. She's a good helper. I made the rows and she put in the seed for me.
Okay, if I didn't give my name in the beginning, I'm Brother Placid Gross from Richardson, and my dad is a first cousin to Christine Chunt, the one that we interviewed here.
Must be awful tight at
camp, so she said, don't worry about it, just come whenever.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to talk about Andrew Gross. From Balta. Was he from Balta?
Yeah. Andrew was a cousin to John Gross. And they lived on the farm north of Balta. And one day he sent his son up to get my parents, Clemens and Catherine Gross, and said, he wants you to come because he claims he's going to die today. But he was not sick. He was out feeding the pigs. And Ben said, you better come. There's something funny. He looks different. So finally the folks thought, all right, they'll go down and talk to him a little bit. When they came down, he said, well, good. He said, I hope you can stay a while because I want you here when I die. And he went in and had a little lunch. And he said, now we're going to say a prayer together. And then we're going to sing a song to the Blessed Mother, and then I'm ready to go. So after they had sang the song, he went to bed, laid in bed, talked a little bit, died. So
your folks were there? Your folks?
Yeah, they were there, saw him die like that. He knew he was dying, so he went to bed and died.
That's weird. How are you?
His wife lived on then with the son for quite a few years. Then she fell and broke her hip. Well, before he died, he said, I hope that you will take care of my wife. She's a little bit hot-headed, but you can put her in her place and watch out for her. So when Ben came up, their son, and said she fell and he thinks she's hurt bad. So they went down and could tell that she had a broken hip, so they got her to the hospital. And after she got out of the hospital, she needed care, so she stayed at our place a few weeks. And then she went home and was okay. A couple of years later, Ben came up again and said, Ma is very sick. I think she's going to die. So the folks went down. When they came down, she was fighting with the evil spirit. No, you can't get me, you can't have me, and you get out of here. And she said, now he's looking in the window. He just won't go. It's the devil himself. And she went on and on like that for a couple hours, you know, she was fighting with the devil. And finally, my mother, they called the priest out. The priest blessed her and blessed the house and everything. And finally she said, oh, now I'm ready to die because he left. He's leaving me alone now. The angel came to get me. She says, well, we didn't see him leave. Sure, she said, you should have seen him. He went right out that window. He's gone now. Mm-hmm. And then she died. That's the way she died.
Right. many children did this Andrew have? Did he have a big family or not?
See, I think there were four boys. There was George, Jack, Andrew, and Frank. Yeah, four boys.
George, Jack, Andrew, Frank. And Ben? No.
Yeah, didn't I say Ben?
George, Andrew, Frank, Ben.
Must have been five boys.
And then now, who's the one that had that big family then?
Jack.
Jack.
Mm-hmm. He was married to a lady whose last name was Lear, also Liar, whatever. And they were, you know, extremely poor. A small house. They had a small bedroom, and then in the front room, they had one end of the front room was straw. And at night, they would brush it out. While the kids sleep there at night, they would push it back more against the wall. Had two.
Need some cheering up. I'm gonna tell you what you need to do. Get on out and listen to your favorite polka band. It's guaranteed to help you face away the blues. We're gonna have a polka celebration. You bring your friends out and I'll bring mine. We're gonna have a polka celebration. We're gonna party and have a good time. Have a good time. We're gonna have a